Welcome to ASHTO Resource Q&A. We're taking time to discuss construction materials testing and inspection with people in the know, from exploring testing problems and solutions to laboratory best practices and quality management. We're covering topics important to you. Now, here's our host, Brian Johnson.
Welcome to ASHTO Resource Q&A. I'm Brian Johnson.
And I'm Kim Swanson. And who do we have with us here today, Brian?
Well, today we're going to do a little podcast cross promotion with one of the ASHTO member DOTs. Our guests today are Will Kraft and Paul Catul, co-hosts of the award-winning podcast, The Extra Mile, which is presented by Mississippi DOT. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Hey, y'all. Thank you for having us. Absolutely.
Yeah, have you ever heard award-winning before your podcast before?
Yeah, not so much. It's a pretty exciting experience.
Truly an honor, for sure. We're excited about it, definitely. As are our bosses. So
yeah,
I'm sure. And we'll get into that. But some of our listeners may not have heard of The Extra Mile yet. So I wanted to see, before we get too deep into it, what can your listeners expect from The Extra Mile podcast?
Yeah, so it's kind of an inside look at transportation infrastructure in the state of Mississippi. We try to have a variety of guests, everybody from, you know, people at MDOT, so, you know, engineers and people of interest here, to outside the agency, so a lot of elected officials and kind of stakeholders and key people that affect funding and policy and all that sort of thing for us.
We kind of take a deeper dive into kind of legislation and policy stuff as the January rolls around, kind of get into the session. But outside of that, we interact with, mayors, again, as Paul mentioned, folks here in our staff, talk about projects going on, MDOT maybe, or even partnership projects going on in other places. We were just in City of Oxford last week, so we did our podcast with the mayor there, talked about some of the projects going on there, and just kind of just what's going on, a pulse check of transportation politics in the state.
Really, it's, you know, it provides like a longer form, obviously, but, you know, there, you can put a Facebook post out there or a press release, but, you know, transportation infrastructure is kind of inherently a complex thing, so it gives us a little more time and a better format to explain everything to the public.
I really like the long form explanations too, and I listened to a couple of your episodes, and I love the depth that you get into with your guests and just the interesting experience that they can provide to those conversations. Now, as far as the strategy of coming up with a podcast is concerned, you know, it seems like DOTs are getting really creative these days in communicating. You know, you see TikTok videos and podcasts and funny tweets and traffic signs and all sorts of other things. Now, why is this type of communication so important to the DOTs these days?
Podcasts are such a thing these days. You know, people listen to them, you know, on their way to work, you know, when they're cooking or, you know, really doing anything. People like to listen to podcasts. Now, I will say there's a little strategy. You know, we're not going an hour long or 2 hours long, so we do try to keep them 20 minutes and digestible. You can look at the metrics. It's one of the things I like, data and looking at metrics and things like that within the communications realm to kind of improve your process and everything. And, you know, so around 20 minutes is what we like to try to aim for.
Again, talking about the inherently complex kind of nature of transportation, there's projects going on everywhere. You really want the traveling public to be constantly aware, even, you know, going through a work zone. Maybe there's not any work going on that day, but some of the geometry has changed. You know, we just want folks to be aware. So any opportunity to kind of get our message out and connect, interact with the public out there is a welcome experience. This one has been a little different because I'm involved, and this is totally new to me. So we appreciate all the kind words, for sure.
One of the great things been bringing Will on board. So when we started out, I think we had someone else, and she actually left the agency. And I think it was it Jason's or my boss's idea to bring you on or to approach Will? I don't even know how that happened. But so I work in public affairs. Will works kind of on the 10th floor leadership team with doing government and constituent affairs. And I think it's actually added so much, kind of, you know, our different backgrounds.
I agree. I think you both bring a lot to the podcast, and it is different. But how did you put this whole team together? I mean, you've got, this is probably a good opportunity to mention your other teammates too, but how did this all come together as far as personnel is concerned?
My boss, Jason Smith, the public affairs director at Mississippi DOT, he always wanted to do a podcast. I'm not going to lie, I never thought it would work. I didn't think it was a good idea. So I kind of put it off until one day he was like, make it happen. So I kind of talked to people at Idaho DOT. They do a great podcast, and some people in state government outside of Mississippi to kind of get how they were doing it, best practices, equipment, workflow, all that kind of thing. And then really just, you know, worked on getting the equipment and everything together, and then really just kind of dove into it. We have a full-time producer. Well, she does other stuff. Katie Hornsby, she's really good at logistics and also has a background in broadcast, so she can kind of coach us up. And then Drew Hall, who is our editor, is lightning quick at editing, just does a phenomenal job. He's from like the news world as well, and he was on deadlines a lot of the time, so he makes things happen. That's kind of how it came together. I was just told, make it happen, and then I kind of selected the people to be part of it. He let me do that, but then I definitely kind of took a step back a little bit. It's become kind of a team for sure. And everyone does a lot of work on it.
Everyone else does way more than I do, though. I want to make that very clear. I am just glad to be a part of it for sure.
Yeah, Drew and Katie probably do more work than me and Will. We just show up.
They do.
They definitely do. So I want to give them a shout out because they're certainly put a lot of hard work into it.
Now, Kim is kind of quiet here, but one of the things that we got really lucky about when we put ours together is that we have somebody who has news experience, production experience, and editing experience all in one with Kim Swanson here. So we hit the jackpot on our end. Now, you guys both have day jobs, I assume, just like the rest of us. If you don't mind, Will, what do you do? What's your normal day job before you start getting involved in the podcast?
I handle our government and constituent affairs here at the agency. It ends up being, as most state employees, I think, in any state would agree, positions you oftentimes wear multiple hats. Very similar to that here. During the session, I'm primarily camp out at the Capitol. I'm involved pretty much 7 to 7 over there. Measures going on, you know, different policy changes. Gas tax is always a big topic. And with budget being one of the larger ones, what it is, it always gets a lot of attention. So that certainly occupies a lot of time at doing that. And then, again, just kind of piggybacking further off that, we're a state agency, right? We have stakeholders from contractors to road builders to even, again, the legislators. So spend a lot of time just in communication with those guys, trying to kind of not necessarily cut through to make paths easier, roads easier, pun intended. But maybe if there's been, you know, a catch in communication somewhere or a breakdown, should I say, just trying to help move things along there. And then finally, just kind of that constituent affairs side of it. So anything from, just a normal average public person out there that saw a pothole and wanted to call it in. They may end up calling Paul Public Affairs, or they may end up getting my number. So just fielding, daily calls from all kind of three phases of that, from specifically government to maybe local government, even down to the general public. So lots of phone time, lots of emails that generally, and my degree is communication. So again, I don't have the public affairs background, but I always say my degree, I just talked my way into them letting me out of college. So that's kind of my background.
Paul, same question for you.
Yeah, so I'm the digital media manager in public affairs, so a lot of web stuff, so lots of social media. I work with like our information systems team, our IT team on the website a good bit. Any kind of web project, media monitoring, anything that touches the web, I suppose.
Multiple hats.
Got to do a little bit of everything.
And did you guys work together before this at all?
I mean, we definitely interacted, but we didn't necessarily work together. As you would imagine, there's plenty of times where the political world crosses with the public affairs side of things. So, I mean, constantly in communication with him and the rest of their staff, but definitely more so these days. A lot more fun, too.
With your day jobs, and now you've been hosting this podcast and have got quite a bit more experience hosting it, has it changed the way you work in your day job, or does it change the way you think about things, or maybe you think about different things now than you did before as a host of this podcast?
My day-to-day, I might think, that might be a good thing for the podcast. Yeah. But I don't know if it really has changed anything other than another thing to do. But I enjoy it. I do enjoy it. But yes, can be time consuming. We, like Will said, we take it on the road. We've actually done that a good bit. Our studio and everything is mobile. We actually went to Louisiana DOT you know, another ASHTO member not too long ago and talked to Dr. Sean Wilson, who's obviously their CEO. So yeah, we get out and about.
Yeah, I'll echo that. I mean, it's definitely from the aspect of like random thought throughout the day. You know, there's been so many times, even laying in my bed at night, I've written things down and been like, that's a good idea for the podcast, you know. And the travel aspect of it, kind of where we started out doing everything here in our little studio and doing things. And somehow we kind of got the notion can we take it on the road, maybe go visit some of these spots. And I think that was kind of really the game changer in it being a more kind of daily thought process of not just who we're talking to now, you know, what we're talking about, but where, and, you know, venues kind of set up, you know, do we want to be in a location that has kind of a story attached to it? Is that part of the podcast, you know? So lots of things like that. It's just been interesting. Yeah, it's funny you say that. It has changed my thought process. Maybe not to a great degree, but again, there's at least been two times that I can think of immediately where I was laying in my bed at night and thought, oh, I need to remember that and have jotted it down. I think I could text you one time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's always there. I mean, you're a show host, so it's always going to be there. You're going to be thinking about it. Let's talk about your guests. You alluded to some of them before, but I'm really impressed with the roster that you put together there. You know, former governors, Haley Barbour and Ronnie Musgrove. I mean, that's a huge pull for both of those mayors of Hattiesburg, Oxford, and Vicksburg. State senators, your Secretary of State for Mississippi, Lieutenant Governor, other politicians that... Of course, I have to mention your executive director, Brad White, who probably helped make this thing happen, and chief engineer, Brian Ratliff. I enjoyed that one quite a bit, actually, because he really got into a lot of things that people don't think about when they think about the DOT. I found that to be pretty interesting. Other people at the DOT, of course, and you mentioned Dr. Sean Wilson as well from Louisiana DOTD. So how do you get these great guests?
So you mentioned our executive director, Brad White, who's Will's boss and, you know, trickled down a few bits. He's my boss's boss. So I want to throw him a shout out because he is very connected guy. And first of all, he's been extremely supportive of the podcast and been, you know, involved in like a lot of the ideas and things. But he just has so many connections that he can make almost anything happen within reason, I would say.
Again, being from a place like Mississippi, you know, maybe not a lot of people realize how rural we are, but... maybe more so than anywhere else in the world, you know, that whole seven hands of separation between you and somebody. I think it's like two or three here. And so without fail, kind of when a topic or an idea has popped up, one of us inevitably, or even if we have to defer to Brad, has known someone in that office or in that mayor's staff or, you know, there's always been some type of connection that we were able to utilize. So I guess we're fortunate to be in a position like that in a state like this, you know, where it's kind of, it's a small world after all. Everybody knows everybody. There's been several times like the mayor's offices. The mayor of Hattiesburg is actually a fraternity brother of mine. So, you know, that was an easy connection. You know, Paul's our number one Ole Miss guy around here. So lined him up with the mayor of Oxford there. And we do intend to round out the three university schedule there. We're going to hit Mississippi State. For any startable folks that may be listening to this, we're not leaving you guys out. We're going to get up there and finish the loop. But yeah, I've been very fortunate. And again, as he mentioned, Brad has been a huge help in doing that. Even times where we kind of knew who we were trying to get, but maybe had a little trouble getting in touch with him. Usually he can pick up the phone and on that first call, whoever we're calling answers, just because he's done so much work for so many people over the years.
Absolutely. And I will add, you know, the podcast, I've been very surprised. It has gotten a lot of traction and, you know, people kind of in the political world in Mississippi, you know, talk about it and know about it. So it was really cool when Congressman Michael Guest actually reached out to actually ask if he could be on it. That was pretty cool. You know, it's not every day a congressman, you know, reaches out.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. It sounds like you have a lot of great guests. And I just want to know, how do you determine kind of what topics you're going to cover on each episode and what kind of the thought process behind that is?
So, and Paul's going to have probably a more data-driven, agency-centric approach to what kind of their process is. My whole thing, again, not really being from the public media side of things or even the podcast world or anything like that, recognizing that it's kind of a niche area, right? If I'm saying that correctly, not everybody's getting on their Apple Podcast or whatever and searching for transportation, you know, podcasts in the state of Mississippi, even to make it even, you know, one level down. So my whole thought has always kind of been somewhere in between, you know, breaking news and not Saturday Night Live, don't get me wrong, but entertaining. You know, oftentimes when we get folks on here, we're not really, you know, grilling them or putting their feet to the fire so much, right? Because we don't really want that brand of podcast. It's not what we're looking for. But at the same time, you know, if you're not going to ask the hard-hitting type of questions, the things that people are really going to tune in to see what that elected official or whoever, what their answer is, then you kind of, you got to have some entertaining aspect of it, you know. So that's kind of been my really only role in topic coverage is like, you know, just trying to maintain that balance. You know, if you listen to a couple of our podcasts, you know, there's a recurring question that we hit at the end of every episode about food places and stuff. And for whatever reason, that has taken off. I mean, we've had folks text in and say, hey, make sure you ask. And we even had folks request that we put the list together, make it clickable, and so that they could, you know, look at the location, click the map, and it shows the podcast and the restaurant that was recommended or whatever. So that's kind of been my involvement. It's just somehow finding that happy medium between the tough questions and the entertainment aspect.
Yeah, that is something great that Will has brought. It's not gonna lie, before he was on the show, it was a little more just kind of dry, perhaps, and definitely brought a lot of good ideas for kind of like, you know, entertainment, but still kind of within the realm of what we're trying to do.
We don't want to be too silly, sure. But yeah, you know.
Absolutely. You got to hook people somehow. And we do have, you know, production meetings and that sort of thing. So we do have some formal kind of planning, which is nice. Take it pretty seriously to, you know, get the best product we can get out there.
A lot of times, especially like if we're going on location, really even just about every episode, honestly, even whoever we're talking to usually has a district or at the very least kind of a home base area. So a lot of times we'll look and see like, all right, do they have projects going on or do we have projects going on in the area? You know, especially when we're dealing with the session and legislation, you know, hey, do these folks have bills that we're interested in or following or with the anticipation that they're going to have, you know, some kind of measure that's going to be really important to us. We want to always kind of tie that transportation aspect into it one way or the other. If it's not the crux of the whole episode, at least, you know, have a good segment in there about projects or policies or something that's affecting the infrastructure world.
You touched on the question that you always ask about places to eat. So I'm going to get into the hard question now. If I'm in Jackson, where do I need to eat?
So I would tell you a couple. I think I said this on one episode. I don't know if somebody asked us or I can't remember how it was. But, you know, there's a couple different places. And I feel we took this liberty just being the host. It's not limiting ourselves to one location. But if we're only doing one and you're the Jackson Metro, I'm going to have to say just a little south of the Jackson Metro, maybe 20 minutes, is a place called Jerry's Fish House. It looks like a giant igloo, like an enormous two-story igloo. It's the best fried catfish in the world, without a doubt. I think that there's probably several places that would argue that statement, but it's phenomenal. If you're in the mood for kind of a good southern home-cooked or home soul food type of fried meal, really heavy, you know, you're not doing much work that afternoon afterwards, Jerry's Fish House is phenomenal. What you got, Paul?
We'll see. So I love that. You know, you got to go fried food when you're in South.
Sorry. Yep.
That has to happen. And it's a great recommendation. So I'll go Elby's. It's in Jackson. Yeah. It's in kind of like an arts district in Belhaven. It's fine dining at night, but, you know, definitely a little more affordable during lunch, but it is just phenomenal. The chef there, I think his name is Hunter Evans, does a great job, kind of a New Orleans, kind of Southern flair to it. And they were just actually mentioned in the New York Times. It's, I think, the best restaurant in Mississippi, I believe. So they do a great job, and definitely go check that out. I also used to work at, before I came to MDOT, I worked at Local 463 as a line cook, yeah, which is kind of weird. So go check them out as well. Good people that own that place, and good kind of Southern food as well.
It seems like every episode that we've asked this question, I also have thought about another place that I would, you know, depending upon where I am. So there's been no lack of input on places to eat, for sure.
Glad you mentioned a fried catfish place, because that when I think of eating in Mississippi, that is the number one dish I think of is fried catfish. If you're ever in Mississippi, check those places out. Now, what about when you're on the road? I mean, you were in Louisiana. You go all over the state, right? So you get all these different perspectives. Are there any other places that you have lined up to go to in the future? Or are you looking to expand out to any other areas, not just in the Southeast, but maybe elsewhere in the country?
Going to, obviously, Starkville, that's on tap. It would be nice to get out to go see some other state DOTs, kind of surrounding Alabama, Tennessee. That would be nice.
Yeah, we talked about kind of hitting our neighboring states.
For sure.
The Arkansas, Tennessee folks.
Want to get that. It would be nice. We're trying to get the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, trying to get him on, kind of had a lead on that. That's kind of fallen. I know he's a busy guy. So anyway, I'd like to get him. That would be fun. It kind of makes sense. So we'll see on that.
We're definitely in the process too. I said the process. I am underhandedly trying to convince our leadership and the rest of the team here that we need to go to some type of podcasting conference somewhere to get some, you know, in-depth teachings and some lessons from other folks that are doing best practice and stuff. I don't know that we necessarily would do a recording from the conference, but that may be the distance travel that we're looking for.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to open up an ASHTO committee on podcasts.
Love it.
Here, right?
Love it.
Get that going. Get all of us together. Fair. Sounds like a plan. You know, earlier in the very beginning of this recording, I mentioned that you guys won an award. So I do want to congratulate you and your team, Drew Hall, the editor, and Katie Hornsby, the producer, for winning the ASHTO 2022 Transcom Skills Award for audio production, which I guess is the transportation equivalent of winning an Emmy. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What did winning that award mean to you?
Well, like we said, it doesn't just all happen. It's a lot of hard work. I mean, we've put in a ton of effort into it. And like you said, everybody here also has a lot of other responsibilities and duties. So it's just kind of, it's always nice to be recognized for, you know, putting your head down. None of us need any recognition, but it's always nice to, you know, get that for, you know, putting in some work.
I'll just add, honestly, it was kind of winning the award and then I guess in the following commission meeting afterwards, they did a little presentation and congratulated us and took some pictures and they made a Facebook post about it. I didn't realize kind of how many people in the political world especially actually tuned in and listened to the podcast until the award, because then they were all like, you know, texting me saying congratulations and, you know, now you guys are famous and all these things. I mean, the chairman of our House Transportation Committee immediately right after the commission meeting called us and was like, hey, congrats, guys. I see y'all. You know, I didn't even know he was listening. So that's pretty neat that, I don't know, it just made us aware that we did have kind of a little following out there and that we're not just kind of making this podcast for ourselves. So it's been cool to see that.
Yeah, I know. I love when we make a podcast and we're just like, did anyone hear it? Like, we have data, but then it's also like, is anybody actually listening? So I definitely can relate to that. But I wanted to ask both of you, what has surprised you about making this podcast?
This may not be an answer that you get often with that question, but I'll say one thing. So my background, as we kind of mentioned, is, you know, the political world. My degree is communications, so public speaking, impromptu speaking. It's kind of my bailiwick, you know, deep dive and being a smart person. I'm not good at math, so I let the details usually to the other people. But there's never really been a time, I guess, throughout my career and even, you know, my college years and whatnot, that I was being recorded every time I was given speeches, for lack of a better word, doing podcasts. So the growth opportunity, I think, I, you know, didn't factor that in at all when they asked me to join the team. You know, I was just like, sure, it sounds fun. But I really think I have grown, not necessarily just in public speaking, but just in that conversational dialogue of making sure you hit topics. And because it's not just having a conversation with somebody, right? Because you could meander all over the world and travel down a rabbit hole of useless information. You still kind of have to be aware of what you want to hit and do. And I know from like my first, we talked about it before, my first episode, I mean, I think I, you know, basically just looked down at the sheet and ask the questions because I wanted to make sure I was doing everything correct. And so kind of now as we go through, I almost try not to have anything, because if I have it, I'm going to look at it and read it. But if I don't, it seems to work better. And even, again, kind of talking back to the first few episodes, I would have to go back and actually watch the podcast after it was produced and out there to see what we talked about. Because there's, I was so focused on making sure I got the questions that we wanted to hit and the topics across, that I wasn't always actually fully paying attention to what our guest was even saying. So, I mean, I think, maybe a micro appreciation for or surprise, but it's been very helpful. I think it's made me more cognizant of that thought process outside the podcast, too, maintaining a smooth, kind of efficient conversation, but also making sure I hit the points that we need to hit. That would be the most surprising thing for me, I think. That and people actually listen to it. It's just surprising. Yeah.
I echo those sentiments. I work in digital, so I'm not a public information officer. I've never really wanted to kind of put myself out there. So I would echo what Will said. It has been kind of a growth kind of thing. And, I kind of think I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And so I'm not going to lie, the first few episodes, I think we've really come a long way. It takes time to build kind of chemistry with the co-hosts and stuff and kind of get on the same page. But that's been really nice. A lot of people, my mom will tell, she'll text me like things that really you guys are clicking on all cylinders. So that's a nice surprise. I don't think either of us ever thought we'd do a podcast. So
no, yeah, I had it never even occurred to me to do a podcast before, personally, professionally, in any way. So this has been, it's been really neat. I mean, I think there's been so many episodes where I'm like, appreciate you guys letting me be here. I've never done anything like this before, but like, it really kind of feels like, I know what I'm doing, which is totally a farce, but kind of feels like it.
it's been great bringing, we've adopted Will in public affairs for sure. But yeah, I would say
they're very kind.
No way. It has been surprising how many people listen to it. Well, we've gotten some serious listens on some of these episodes. So that's nice.
And even on the micro level, there's been oodles of our podcast where truly the guest's answers have been information that I was not aware of. And I hate to isolate one episode, but the episode with Michael Watson, our Secretary of State here, I mean, that entire podcast was a learning experience for me. Everything we talked about, I had no previous knowledge of, but was super interested in. A lot of things that they're doing for the agency and doing for the state through that office. And there's been so many events that have taken place throughout it that have been very surprising. You think you got the guest on, and how are we going to entertain the audience and the listeners, and you find yourself, kind of really just sitting there and listening, truly to taking in what they're saying. So that's been really good.
Your podcast definitely serves a great public service, not just to the people of Mississippi, but anybody who wants to learn more about the inner workings of state government, especially as it relates to transportation, and you even cover emergency response and things that people need to know, like the traveling public needs to know, and they should have some more appreciation for what everybody at Mississippi DOT does by listening to some of these episodes. I also wanted to mention, so my day job is being the ASHTO Accreditation Program Manager, and in that position, I've had the opportunity to work with James Williams, who used to be the state materials engineer at the Mississippi DOT. And I have to say, James was amazing to work with. And in discussions with him, I really got to understand the importance of public service for people at the DOT, that they're not just working a job. This isn't just a job. This is a service. It's kind of like a call to help people in your state live their best lives through transportation. It's really important. It's not just filling potholes and making sure, traffic gets moving along. So I want to thank you guys for the service you're providing, just like I would thank James for the service he provided, not just to ASHTO, but to Mississippi. And, thank you guys for joining us today. I really appreciate the time to talk to you. And for those of you who are interested, and you should be based on this conversation, the Extra Mile is available anywhere. I found it where you can find podcasts, as well as the Mississippi DOT website, where you can find video podcasts and see just how they put these things together. I do like the video podcast that you guys do. It's a small set, but it's nice to see how relaxed you are with your guests can kind of see the interplay a little bit more than you can hear it. So I do think that adds some value.
I appreciate that. All your kind words there too, especially the public service aspect of it. A lot of times our guys and girls out there that are, they're doing the work, the front first responders to the fullest of that term, you know, oftentimes they're out there before law enforcement. You know, they may have to clear the path for a lot of those things. And mention that so we're in the middle of hurricane season, you know, so getting that out is definitely a passion of ours, and getting that appreciation for those folks out there that are really, you know, the frontline workers doing the work. Thank you for that.
Thanks for having us on. It was great to speak with you both.
Yeah, very much appreciated. Enjoyed it too.
Definitely.
All right. Well, thanks again. Kim, anything else?
I don't think so. Thank you very much for being our guests, Paul and Will. And is there anything that we didn't ask you? I mean, this is your first time being guests on a podcast. So is there something that we should have asked that maybe we didn't?
Oh, I got one. I'm not sure exactly where you both are located, but just in the event that we happen to travel to your home areas, where are we supposed to stop and eat? Where's the hot spot?
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, I think Kim has got to answer that one because our office is in Frederick, Maryland, and okay. She actually lives in Frederick, Maryland. I live about an hour away from it.
Okay. And now it depends on what time of day. There's so many different options here. It depends on what time of day, what you're in the mood for. I'm going to say currently my favorite place in downtown Frederick is Isabella's, and it's a Spanish tapas place, but I go there for breakfast. So they go weekends, they have breakfast. And so I just get my, you know, the standard breakfast or the fancy breakfast or whatever. So that's currently my favorite place, but I'm not going to single out just that. There's so many other good restaurants and, you know, breweries and things like that in the area. But right now my personal favorite is Isabella's.
Love that answer. I'm the Ron Swanson opinion there. You know, you could eat breakfast every meal. It'd be totally fine.
Yes, I mean, I wish we had a JJ's Diner kind of vibe from Parks and Rec. I wish Frederick had that place because I would live there as well. So,
and if you ever find yourself in Falls Church, Virginia, okay. There is a place that I've been going lately called Dogwood Tavern that I like because my kids will actually eat it, and I always find something good, and they usually have a good rotation of microbrews. So that's a good one. But most of the time, you know, with little kids, I don't know if either of you have little kids, but my diet consists of leftover pizza and whatever chicken nuggets are left over from what they didn't finish. So there's tons of options for that, too. But I think they're the options that are available to everyone, especially in your region.
Two great venues we have to check out. See, now we got to make a plan to come to our podcast in both of these locations so we can visit these sites.
You know, for the inaugural meeting of the ASHTO podcast committee, I think we should probably have that somewhere around the Washington, D.C. area. So there'll be an opportunity to visit both of those locations, I think.
I love it. I love it when a plan comes together.
Thanks again for being on the podcast, you two.
Thank you for having us,
for sure.
Thanks for listening to ASHTO Resource Q&A. If you'd like to be a guest or just submit a question, send us an email at podcast@ashtoresource.org. Or call Brian at 240-436-4820. For other news and related content, check out ASHTO Resources' Twitter feed or go to ashtoresource.org.